Hello and welcome to this week's Start-Stop Reflection from St. Stephen Walbrook, reflecting on the glorious gift of music. I'm Stephen Baxter. We start with Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Singing the Psalms, the raw, gritty, poetic prayers of the Jewish people, was a key part of worship in the temple in Jerusalem. This tradition was continued by the early Christians, who were exhorted by St. Paul in his letter to the Ephesians to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts. Augustine, the early church father, declared that singing belongs to one who loves. This week the church celebrates both the patron saint of music, St. Cecilia, and one of the founding fathers of English hymn writing, Isaac Watts. Music appears to have been a feature of human communal life from earliest times. The oldest bone flute found has been dated to 40,000 BC. Medical researchers are appreciating all the more the powers of music, especially participation in musical activity, to enhance both physical and mental well-being, and to provide stimulation and inspiration. Einstein adored music and said, "I live my daydreams in music. I see my life in music." Einstein's wife observed how he emerged from his study only to play the piano during the 2 weeks in which he was engrossed in producing his working draft of the theory of general relativity. He became an accomplished violin player, and the patterns and messages of music seem to assist his articulation of conclusions from his observations within the realms of mathematics and physics. Especially in Western societies, a tendency developed to view music making and performance as being exclusively an activity for the talented. However, there are signs that the view that only the gifted and experienced can make music is being reversed, with the growth of communal choirs and the gradual realisation that almost everyone has some musical ability that can be expressed with a modicum of guidance. During lockdowns, through the miracle of Zoom, remarkable musical ensembles and collaborations were achieved, helping to develop crucial connection and counteract the sense of isolation. Lockdown also brought home to many just how special and precious live music is. Post-lockdown, somehow musical performances I've been privileged to attend have seemed all the more rich and vibrant, the experience intensified by absence. Churchgoers denied the ability to sing hymns have appreciated more keenly the crucial importance of collective hymn singing, and our innate yearning to continue the tradition of worshipping and praying to God with music. At St. Stephen Walbrook, music plays a key role in the life of the community as a source of joy, sanctuary and invigoration, and as a signpost to the God who gave it as a wondrous gift. We have the wonderful benefit of great variety in a church with a meticulously fashioned acoustic. This week the Chorus Scholars will accompany and spice our celebrations of the Feast of Christ the King with music by Mozart, Purcell, the genius arranger of spirituals, Moses Hogan, and contemporary Scottish composer James Macmillan. And we look forward to the communal renditions of the hymns and carols of Advent and Christmas prohibited last year. Music that will prompt nostalgic emotions and also hopefully new insights and stimulations. Our music of worship has been shaped by myriad influences, including lyrics from the early church, folk traditions, from an array of different countries, the plain song and polyphony of the medieval and Renaissance Catholic Church, the hymns of Luther and associated musical settings by Bach and other composers, and the hymns of the independent evangelicals of the 17th and 18th centuries. Isaac Watts, who died on the 25th of November 1748, exerted a profound influence on the development of hymns within the Anglican Church. He was born into a family that worshipped at independent rather than Anglican churches, and his father was imprisoned for his non-conformist views. Isaac quickly displayed notable academic talent, learning Latin at the age of 4, Greek at 6, and Hebrew at 13. He declined the offer of support to enable him to attend Oxford or Cambridge, and was educated at a non-conformist academy in London and also by a private tutor. For 10 years he was pastor of Mark Lane Independent Chapel in the city, one of the city's leading independent churches. His offer of marriage was rejected with a somewhat caustic feedback by his intended, that she loved the jewel but could not admire the casket which contained it. After this rejection, he immersed himself all the more in writing essays on psychology, astronomy and philosophy, theological papers and over 600 hymns, and also the first children's hymn book. He wrote simple poetic hymns which he hoped would be accessible and act as mini-sermons, conveying key aspects of the faith using paraphrased extracts from scripture. His writing was often inspired by Psalms, but he broke away from the prevailing tradition in England of writing hymns as translations of Psalms applied to a modern poetic pattern. And he wrote with much greater freedom. And this approach was deeply influential on the hymn writers of the next two centuries, including the Wesley brothers. Watts' hymns deeply enrich worship, helping to convey the ecstatic joy of Christmas, joy to the world, the poignance of remembrance, O God, our help in ages past, and the power of Good Friday, when I survey the wondrous cross. This final verse is perhaps the most poetic summary of what our response to the cross should be. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. For our prayer, we use the words of John Rutter's hymn, sung by the choral scholars last week in Choral Classics for St. Cecilia. Eternal God, we give you thanks for music, blessed gift from heaven to all your servants here on earth, in time of joy a crown, in sorrow consolation, companion through our days of tears and mirth. We give you thanks for every sound of beauty, for sweetest harmony that echoes in our hearts, for melodies that soar on high like birds at morning, for voice and instrument in all their parts. As we are blessed, so may our gifts bless others. May hearts be touched and spirits lifted up anew. Let music draw together those who live as strangers. Bring joy to those we love in thankfulness true. Amen. Many thanks for joining us for our start-stop reflection. Do have a look at the events for Advent and Christmas on the church's website, and join us in church if you are able, or by participating in recordings online. Do have a wonderful week ahead. God bless you.